Hello, I'm Jonathan Renwick, and I'd like to start out by saying that I'm not a green crab, and this is not a concept. I stand before you today as a worm harvester of over 40 years' experience, a lobster fisherman, and the presiding president of the Goolsboro Clam Committee. Experience in these endeavors provides me with an uncommon insight into what is actually taking place here today. We're here today presiding over the beginning of the end of an industry as we know it. The control of the mudflats and the resources within those flats is about to be handed to just a few people. The control of all types of harvesting within the intertidal zone will be awarded to any town that has a clam ordinance. This bill may have been presented as a clam enhancement bill or even a clam conservation bill, but the simple fact is it's about ownership of the mud. You'll be saying with the passage of this bill that any town that has a clam ordinance also owns the rights to control the harvest of any other marine species within those same flats. After all, harvesting those other species is the clam resource, right? Sounds like a reasonable idea. Wrong. Even the clam flats within those flats are a resource owned by the state of Maine to be controlled and managed for the good of all the citizens of the state. Many people will tell you that the state's foray down the clam highway with the towns has been a great success. Try asking people from a neighboring town with no mud flats their own opinion. Many of these towns had clam diggers that were suddenly denied the right to harvest when the town laws went into effect. They were disenfranchised. The same fate now awaits the worm harvesters. As a marine worm harvester, I've traveled the coast of Maine many times searching for the best worming. I've never been pigeonholed into an area where I was forced with the prospect of over-harvesting or overturning the mud in order to pay my bills. I've always traveled to find more and better digging. I can see that this fate awaits me now, being boxed in. I can tell you that a few times in my career I have been confronted and threatened with bodily harm and even death by clam harvesters that also needed to harvest worms. Their tirades against me always included, "Why are you digging my mud? Aren't there any worms in your town?" These threats usually include slashed tires, sugared gas tanks, beatings, and being shot. Can you members of the legislature, committee members, and DMS staff imagine the consequences of putting the fate of other taxpaying citizens into the hands of people that think like this? I've been down this road before as a lobster fisherman, I've been to the meetings, and watched as control of a tremendously expanding biomass has been given to the hands of a few people. The rule changes made in-state did much to cement the rights of the resource into the hands of a few people, and I'm a lobster fisherman, I'm one of them. The list of broken promises made to people who got into the so-called apprentice program gets longer every year. If you don't believe me, ask anyone on the waiting list that has endured 3 and 4 rule changes while waiting to get their license after finishing the apprentice program. And they certainly watch the years slip away. As the presiding president of the Goolsboro Clam Committee, I realize that all changes in access to the resources other than clams will be made only in regard to the welfare of the controlling town's harvesters. The fox will literally be gadding the hen house. The fact is, if the state wants to go down this road with the towns that have clam ordinances, it can be done experimentally in one or two places by state regulation without the far-reaching effects of passing an ill-conceived law. This would allow the state, in fairness to all affected, to gauge the real intentions of the law, as well as to see some of the further-reaching unintended consequences of this law. The state is already doing this in the town of Goolsboro. The state has given control of the intertidal mudflats to the clam committee in regards to mussel dragging. Has anyone in committee done any research, asked any questions of the state in regards to how this is working? Would the state recommend giving the same power to every clam ordinance town? If not, why not? And has anyone sponsoring this bill asked a mussel dragger to see how they feel about the process that we're embarking on here? This leads us to a few questions for your consideration. Number one is, where does the Marine Advisory Council, you people, stand in regards to this legislation? We already know where the chief of the DMS stands. What scientific evidence has been used to justify this change, not the green crab change, the marine worm digging change? Did the legislatures who proposed this bill sit down and talk with people from both sides of the issue? No, you heard they talked with the claim committees in the towns. Not a lot of worm diggers, except for maybe the worm diggers within that town that dig worms when they closed off the clamming by red tide or depletion of flats or whatever, because clam diggers are worm diggers too. Are there any safeguards in the bill to allow for change if unforeseen consequences prove as adverse as I believe they'll be? And will the state allow add-ons to the bill, which will allow towns to sell licenses, town licenses, for worm harvesting? Who gets these licenses and how many? Because I can't explain to you how it's handled for clam diggers. There are probably many other questions, but I'll leave you with this final thought. Any bill that does not provide for equal representation and equal protection under the law for all the people that the law affects should not even be considered. I personally, in the terms of the Marine Advisory Council, give this bill my own. It ought not to pass. Thank you for your time and your thoughtful consideration of these issues.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Question, Senator Johnson.
Thank you. You raised at the beginning the legislation. It was a regular print copy of the bill. Have you seen the proposed amendment?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And because it seemed as though some of your comments are in relation to the town's authority that isn't present in that amendment, it would be a state decision.
If the state petitions the town...
Well, it's the other way around. If the town petitions the state...
If the town petitions the state, right. If the town petitions the state to shut off an area to women, and they meet whatever criteria that the state comes up with, mm-hmm. that petition is in regards to the welfare of the clam diggers, not representing the worm diggers at all. And I have handled this process two or three times with the mussel draggers, actually twice, with one mussel dragging outfit. And I can tell you that within the town of Gouldsboro, the dragging of mussels on the intertidal flats has been effectively eliminated. There has been one outfit that has petitioned, and the only reason why they received a permit from the state, from the town through the state, was because they agreed to drag the mussels off, not do any washing, put them on immediately onto a badge and take them out of town. The regular commercial mussel harvesters will not even approach the town to ask for a permit.
So,
that's so made.
If I might ask, because I think that the mussel is not circumstances.
Same issue.
Well, it's not what this is being proposed in this legislation, but in any case, there was discussion of the green crab as a challenge. It eats both.
Yes.
How do you feel about fencing being placed in an area to try to protect that resource and get some resurgence of the, you know, the population levels,
both
worms and clams?
There is no way that I, as a responsible worm digger, who also represent clam diggers, would even dream about bothering fencing or tearing up nets or anything else. And any issue that is confronted that way should be a violation handled by the Marine Patrol without the benefit of exclusionary favoritism in a bill, in a law. Doesn't need to happen.
So I'd like to, if I might ask a little, one more, go a little further on that line and understand your thoughts. So if an area is fenced off to keep predators out, we're trying to get recovery. If we've got a low population of worms, a low population of clams, either or both, how do you feel about not allowing clamming or worming in that area so that both of those can recover more quickly.
I feel that it is not a mute issue. It is a mute issue, and I'll tell you this is why. A professional worm digger will not have his worms in an area where there aren't worms to dig. You might go there, you might try it, but you will not continue to dig it for nothing, and you will not dig a flat over and over the same mud within a three-week period like was presented to you earlier. You'll dig that mud once, you'll set over and dig fresh mud every day. When that is dug, you will leave for at least a month or 2 months while the mud flats settle, and then you might go back and try it if you did really good there. But if you didn't do really good there, you're going to be somewhere else in the state digging worms. Bloodwormers are migratory, just like the worms that we follow, and we go all over the state to do it.
Representative Devitt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Is it Mr. Renwick?
Yes.
Mr. Renwick, I really appreciate your testimony. It was very colorful, and it was very enlightening, and I think that you brought up a few good points. The clammers, I have recognized that there's a problem out there on the flats. And they believe that part of that problem is related to green crabs. And they're proposing a way to deal with that. Mm-hmm. My question is, are the wormers willing to sit down and say, hey, there is problems on the flats? And I'm not calling them clam flats, I'm not calling them worm flats, I'm saying flats, period.
Exactly.
All right?
Yes.
So, are the wormers willing to, like the clammers, sit down and say, look, we're having problems in the flats. Let's put our heads together and try to come up with a solution or come up with some things that we can try or do that will mitigate those impacts.
Yes.
Are you, as a wormer and representing other wormers, willing to
yes.
put the effort that the clammers have done?
Definitely.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh. Sorry, Representative Dickerson.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify a point or ask for clarification, and the department might need to help us out here. One of your points, many of these towns had clam diggers that were suddenly denied the right to harvest when the town laws went into effect.
Yes.
I may need to ask Deirdre, but I believe, is it just veterans who can get a license to go dig in another town, or are there other individuals? Because I know I have a veteran in my town that does not have a municipal clam license, and so what we've done is managed to get him a license in an adjacent town so he can go dig. Is it other individuals who can do that, or just veterans?
I'll tell you how it's handled in the town rules. When I believe it is statewide. For every 10 town licenses that you issue, you have to issue one out-of-town license.
Okay.
And while I was digging in Waldoboro, I'm from Birch Harbor, Maine, mm-hmm. the other side of Bar Harbor, Frenchman's Bay, all of that. While I was digging in Waldoboro last spring, I had conversations with several clam diggers. And they said, well, we really don't mind you coming down here, but we really think you should have to buy a town license like we do. Control. So if the state says eventually, hey, this 10% worked, this exclusion worked, we're having good progress with this, what do you say we allow the towns to license worm diggers? The only person digging worms in that town, theoretically from that point on, with the exception of the 1 or 2%, whatever it is, will be diggers from that town.
Okay.
The migratory transition of bloodworm diggers chasing the best digging along the coast will be gone.
Okay. Chair Kumiega, could I please get clarification from Ms. Gilbert about what the actual law is, if she wants to come up and, or do we know what it is? Because I need to know that right now. I would like to know that in terms of the testimony that I've heard.
Well,
I think some of the individuals in this room might also like to
know.
That
is the way it's done.
Are you
sure? I would love to have anybody from another town speak up right now.
Please shut your mic off for a second so I can. Okay, we have 10 pages of people signed up. We have. So, I mean, this question has nothing to do with this bill.
Yes, it does.
Well, but it, also, this. I mean, you just asked if you could ask Ms. Deirdre Gilbert about it, and she's not here. Well, okay, she is. Sorry. So could you ask her off mic so we can continue with the public hearing? Because
I'd like to go sit down myself.
Yeah. Go ahead. You know, Fred Johnson, please. You know, like I said, we have 10 pages of people signed up. So if the committee members could keep their questions brief and to the point, and if also people testifying could, as much as possible, be brief. If you have written testimony, please hit the highlights and hear everyone and let people get out of here in a reasonable hour.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Fred Johnson. I live in Steubenville, Maine. I'm born and raised, lifelong Maine resident, been here forever. And I've done just about every harvesting job that the state of Maine sells a license for. And, you know, since I was about 10 years old, I've been doing this. I've harvested bloodworms since I was 10 when they were sent in 3/4 apiece. Not 25, not 26, not 50. I've harvested clams when they were $6 a bushel, and not a 50-pound bushel, a 60-pound bushel. And, you know, at the present time, the worms and clams, until the clam ordinance made it impossible for me to dig them, because I don't live in a town where the clams are real thick. And if I bought a town license, it'd be $100. If I bought an out-of-town license, it'd be $400. And I'd have to put in 14 to 20 hours conservation time. I don't mind conservation. I think conservation is great. But I don't think that we should be subjected, and I know I'm off my ways a bit, but I don't think that if you're going to have a resource and you require even somebody from a town to do conservation time, why you should charge an exorbitant fee to use that resource. That resource is for everybody in the state of Maine. A state license says the state of Maine. It doesn't say the town of Goolsboro. It doesn't say the town of Harrington. It says Maine, period. And you got to have one to sell clams, but you also got to have a town license if you're going to dig them. Anyway, I've lobster fished. I've worked on shrimp, scallop, mussel boats. And, you know, up until now, and you used to be able to buy any license in the state. If you had any ambition enough to do it, buy every license in the state. Through ordinances, through moratoriums, through all of this, you're pigeonholing everybody in this room into only two truly open industries. One of them's worming, one of them's wrinkling. And it's pretty sad. I think we ought to visit a lot of that again. But the issue is, you know, if you had the wherewithal to do it, you could do it. And conservation is conservation. Any serious person in here that goes clamming, goes worming, goes picking apples. Conservation is natural. If you're going to have an industry, if you're going to have anything, you're going to take care of it. If you're not going to take care of it, don't do it. Don't get in, get out. Get in for the long haul, stay out. And, you know, I always believed that laws were written to be fair and equal for everybody under them. I really feel that if this bill passes as written, the only ones that are going to gain on it are the clammers. It's not equal. It's not fair. Any questions?
Senator Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Johnson as well.
Yes.
Have you seen the amendment?
Yes, I have.
You've got a copy of that.
I have seen it, and it still states, allow the towns to make an ordinance for clam conservation. If you give the town a right to make an ordinance, that ordinance is going to be down the road. Well, you can dig here, but it's going to cost you $500 to dig in our town.
So I just want to point out that it says that the restriction is something which can be requested.
The first line says the ordinance, doesn't it? The bottom of the first line?
So you've got municipality that meets the criteria of Section 4B may request the commissioner to prohibit marine worm and clam harvesting within an area closed through a shellfish conservation ordinance pursuant to subsection 3, paragraph A. So they may have a conservation ordinance, but whether they can close that to both worming and clamming depends on the approval of the commissioner of marine resources, as written here. Mm-hmm. That's how I read it, certainly.
I read it as that's given them a right to petition for an ordinance. And as much as I like to trust my fellow man, if they've got a chance to make a buck on my back, I think they're going to do it.
So if, as the amendment states, this is something which can be requested by the Shellfish Committee, it has to be approved by the State Department of Marine Resources. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your feelings about this change at all, given that there's that control instead of...
I think... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir. I think the true issue is depletion of clam flats. I think the true culprit is the green crab and maybe several other, you know, like seagulls picking the spat off the mud, Ida ducks, when the tide comes in, picking the spat off the mud because they like shellfish. I think that there are several ways to probably address the green crab issue. I know these traps. Well, why not grind them up and use them for seafood compost? There ain't enough meat on them to eat, to bother eating, you know.
Thank you. And all right, very quickly. So you talked a bit about what you think this does or doesn't do, but I was let me try to re-ask that question.
Okay.
If the Department of Marine Resources is the one that gets to say whether it happens or not, does that address your concern about municipalities having too much control?
Somewhat, okay. But I've never heard of a town being denied once they apply for an ordinance.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Timothy LaRochelle.
My name is Timothy LaRochelle. I'm from Woolwich, Maine. I am co-chair of Woolwich's Shellfish Conservation Ordinance. Thank you, Senator Johnson, Representative Kamega, and the rest of the Marine Resources Committee. I am against LD 1452 because the restrictions in this bill are too broad. Clam industry is going through the same problem it had in the 60s, 10 years of warmer water temperatures. There was only one problem then and only one now, green crabs. When digging a few years ago, we started seeing these pock marks in the mud where the clam holes had been days before. We'd seen many sturgeon jumping in the area, so we blamed them for eating our clam seed. After seeing a video last summer sent by Chad Coffin, which is posted on YouTube, of hundreds of green crabs up in the thatch grass, handful after handful, I went to see, and Woolwich had the same problem. It was obvious we did. Green crabs were everywhere. I attended the Green Crab Summit this fall, and seeing the pictures of bankings and eelgrass beds disappearing in other towns, I went to dig a few clams the next week and noticed the same problems in Woolwich. One eelgrass bed was diminished by over 75% of what it was just 2 years ago, and the bankings are caving down into the mud. The clam industry, as I said, is going to go through some hard times because of green crabs, and history has proven this. Fighting with other user groups will not solve any crab problems. At the Green Crab Summit, Chris McCarthy presented a study he did in Canada. They trapped 1 million pounds of green crabs in 3 years and spent $160,000 and 10,000 volunteer hours to restore eelgrass to one 285-acre bay. He stated that, when asked, this is not feasible to do unless a market for green crabs is established. This is on the Sea Grant website for anyone that wants to see this. Maine has hundreds of thousands of acres of mudflats and an entire ecosystem that is being destroyed by green crabs. And we are here to try to limit another industry from existing and doing their job. This bill also limits these closure areas to less than 10% of the total acreage of the town. I hate to disagree with the former representative that stood up, but another law allows towns to lease up to 25% of their flats to individuals. If LD 1452 is passed, it could allow 35% of town areas to be closed to worm harvesting, and the 25% that went to leases could exclude all worm harvesting and any harvesting by anyone other than the owner of the lease forever. If Governor LePage were to declare a state of emergency due to the devastation of our entire ecosystem from the green crabs, We could seek federal and state money to combat this problem. Use the money to trap green crabs and to hire Down East Institute to provide seed for all the towns in Maine. Providing these towns protect the seed from predators with nets and trap green crabs with a vengeance. And could prove the seed was being protected from predators. Protecting seed with nets does not allow any digger to dig unless the nets are removed. Therefore, this law, LD 1452, is not needed. Maybe a law that prohibits anyone from removing a net from any flat for any reason, but this broader law is far too extreme. Towns could also benefit from changing the law that only town wardens enforce municipal license holders. At the present time, a shellfish license from the state is required to sell clams or any other shellfish. If the state made a clam license that had the town's name that you hold municipal licenses in on your license, the Maine Marine Patrol could enforce town ordinances and relieve some towns' resources from their wardens and get them to help with trapping crabs and reseeding efforts. The town of Brunswick and all other towns that support this bill should concentrate their efforts on green crabs and protected seeded areas with nets, as Dr. Beal has been telling us since 2001. Down East Institute and Dr. Beal have done all the research needed to see what we need to do. And if a state of emergency was declared, we could seek millions in federal and state money and do our best to knock back green crabs while seeding in thousands of acres of mudflats. That would benefit all Mainers, not a select few. I do not support LD 1452, and I hope you will not also. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Phil Harrington? Representative Depp?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's now noon. We have people that are associated with other bills that are hanging around. Do we have kind of a plan of how, do we have any idea of how long the testimony and work session for this bill will go so we can let those people that sit around waiting to know how the day has been adjusted as a result of this bill? Thank you.
I don't think we do. No, we've got work ahead of us and we've got to keep doing it. And the longer it gets prolonged, the longer it's going to take.
Okay, my name is Phil Harrington. I've been a worm dealer since 1990 and a digger since 1964. I had a big testimony prepared, but most of my testimony has already been given by Peter Kent and Mr. Kelleher, so I'll skip over that. I just want to say that we would support anything to stay out of protected areas that are protected by nets. But we do not want town control over the worm diggers. And that's basically all I can say about it. You can read the testimony there if you want, but like I said, most of it's already been said.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
James Arsenault.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to address this committee. Most of what I wanted to say has already been covered. However, the one thing that I will touch upon, once again, in my testimony, that we, all the worm diggers I've spoken with, do support the idea of lawful protection of netting. Fact is, we assume that was already in place. We've since found that it is not. Any actual gear on the mud that they use, yes, it should have lawful protection. I'll skip all the way down to the bottom, and I will read this. According to a letter written by Dan Devereaux of the Brunswick Marine Resource Committee explaining the amended version of the bill that is before you, they claim this is needed as a management tool for today's circumstances. So why has Brunswick pursued this issue more than once beginning 19... I'm expanding on Peter Kent's. Beginning 19 years ago with LD 570 in 1995 during times economically and environmentally more friendly, far removed from the elevated green crab menace of today. And I included it on the back of your testimony just to show you. This bill from 1995 is one that we measure all action that's been taken since. Everything, as far as Wormdingers go, everything that comes down the pike now, we measure against what was once tried against us at that time, which was wide-sweeping measures. Based on this history of Brunswick's repeated attempts to wrest control of our industry from the state to the municipalities, we in no wise trust that the amendments placed in this bill during the past week, again, they've only been placed in there in the past week, as an attempt to pacify Wormers and make this bill more palatable to this committee, will stay intact through the legislative process. We consider this bill a camel's nose through the tent flap in an attempt to assimilate our industry into the municipal shellfish ordinance expansions. It continues to deepen the chasm of distrust between our industries.
Thank
that I'll leave, because everything else I had been covered.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Having trouble reading this one. I think it's Alan Furnier from Wiscasset.
Asking if you head this way.
People in the overflow room could head, and we have a little more room in the room. The next person could go, Sherman.
Joe Hansen.
Johansson from Augusta.
Good afternoon. My name is Sherman Johansson. I've been a marine worm digger for 47 years. I started digging worms in 1966. That was the first year I fell down more than I stood up. 1967, I became a real worm digger at the age of 7. I have worked violently, vigorously, and as hard as I could all my life just to support myself and my family, including my mother and my father. My father and my grandfather were also worm diggers and clam diggers. That job of digging clams was taken away from them when the town ordinance was set, because they did not live in a particular town where they could do that anymore. My grandfather was half American Indian. He could have dug clams, but was ashamed of the fact that he had to go to a town to live to be able to dig there. I know that something has to be done, but the predators are not worm diggers. Clam diggers are more of a predator than a worm digger. They pick up clams and dig clams. I do not. Seagulls, ducks, and green crabs, especially green crabs, are the biggest killer. And there's also the scientific part of this whole entire thing, which is the ocean, which is dying at a rapid rate, whether we like it or not. The whole entire world is dying, including us. For every milliliter of seawater, there is 1 million bacteria and 1 million viruses and 20,000 proteins. This is in deep seawater, not shallow bays, estuaries, and shallow rivers which we dig worms and clams in. These are the essential substances of life for all sea life, from the smallest microorganism to the largest fish in the sea. When ships come into bay and port, they dump out up to 20,000 gallons of water, which present not only bad bacteria into our waters, which go into our estuaries, there are also poisons, toxins, which cannot be eliminated, which create problems for everything. Worms are migratory, and to tell me I can't dig here, I dug in Bath, Brunswick area for probably 40 years, from the 60s all the way until the mid-70s, worms died off. We had to go down east because you could only get 200 worms a tide. Clamming was no better than it really isn't no more now today. Because everything runs, the whole entire earth runs in cycles. Cycles, cycles, cycles. Photoplankton is the essential lungs of the water of the whole entire sea. taking phytoplankton out of the water eliminates the process of breathing, which kills everything in the water. That, in fact, happened at McCoy's Bay a few years back when the depletion of phytoplankton in the water completely eliminated the oxygen, which killed every single thing, including fish, in that water on that day. The pH factor in the ocean, not only in the ocean, but in fresh water as well, will kill every single thing that is in that water by just changing a slight bit. I have dug clams, worms in clams, and I have seen clams dying, not because they were getting crushed or killed, because pollution was killing them. The sad fact of the matter is, it's too late for anybody to help anybody. The world is dying, whether you like it or not. And the killers are here, and present, and are not going away. No matter how much you try to conserve or take care of your industries. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Alan from Wisconsin come in?
That's what I was going to say anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chad Coffin?
I'm Chad Coffin. I'm a Freeport clammer. I'm also president of the Maine Clammers Association and as well as president of the Friends of the Clammers. I'm here to testify in support of LD 1452, but before I do, I would like to offer some clarifications to some stuff that I've heard in the audience, and I think it's really, it's an embarrassment to everyone in this room. I think it's an embarrassment to everyone in this state that the commissioner of DMI doesn't know the science behind green crabs. To suggest that cold weather is going to knock them back is crazy.
Chad, I think you're probably best off to just stick to your testimony.
Okay, I'll testify. It's an important first step in efforts to restore Maine shellfish resources and marine biodiversity that's been virtually wiped out by invasive green crabs, not ocean acidification. Invasive green crabs predate on both shellfish and worm populations. Towns in Maine are just starting to wake up to the devastation that green crabs are having on their marine resources. As a result, some Maine towns are contemplating implementing measures to protect their intertidal resources, including fencing or netted areas, seeded areas, or using netting to encourage and safeguard wild clam recruitment. These protection and restoration efforts require significant investment from each community, and this bill allows towns to protect their investment by providing them with the ability to prohibit any type of harvesting from occurring in protected areas while the resource is being restored. And it's simply not true that this bill excludes wormers from significant portions of the intertidal clam flats. No one is trying to curtail another person's ability to make a living. However, if nothing is done to adequately protect our intertidal areas from green crabs, in a short time there'll be nothing left for anyone to harvest. And that includes no harvesters to actually get out there and do the restoration efforts, which I have to say the shellfish industry is really the only one that there's a requirement on anyone to do anything. So it needs to be supported. And the shellfish resources, they are held as a public trust for all Mainers to enjoy, and as such, it's the responsibility of our state and local governments to ensure their sustainability for ourselves as well as future generations. Mainers should be proud and thankful we have a true champion of marine resources in Senator Stan Gasowski, because he understands the importance of investing in natural resource enhancement and that efforts that focus on active rather than passive resource management need our full support and deserve our protection. And I find another thing I'd like to add is that in Representative Kent's testimony, I found it interesting that he alluded to the fact that worming doesn't have any impact on juvenile clam populations. In fact, if he read the research that he claimed to have, that he would find that the research showed that clamming and worming had almost the exact same mortality on juvenile clam populations. That's why it's important when an area, if a town is going to invest in fencing, and the resources to maintain that fencing or netting, that those areas be left alone. And that I think that if he read the research, he'd know that there's a reason why we don't want any type of harvesting in those areas. There's nothing there to begin with. And if we don't do something, they're going to remain dormant.
Thank you very much, Chad.
Thank you.
This is Lance Crawford, but I also, after that is Joe Payne, Steve McDonald, Nathan Peasley, Mark Blake, Adam Peasley, and Jeff Peasley.
Mr. Chairman, members of this committee, I'm from Wiscasset. I've dug worms for a long, long time. We're hunter-gatherers. We must range out to find the product. We don't plant them or grow them per se. Climbers are trying to, they used to do the same. They're trying to become farmers. And that's not working well for them, I guess, but you can't plant worms. They don't. They go where they want to go. They do not live everywhere. If you close a particular area on a flat, you might be closing the only place with worms on it. Also, when you start closing flats, it bunches us up so that more of us are in a single area. So I'm going to ask this committee not to pass this LD 1452. It changes my way of life and all wormers completely when you do that. And I'm a Democrat, Senator Johnson, and I'll see you in November.
Joe Payne.
Good afternoon, Senator Johnson, Representative Kamiga, members of the committee. My name is Joe Payne. I'm a marine biologist. I work for Friends of Casco Bay as Casco Bay Keeper. I wanted to say that as Friends of Casco Bay, we support sustainable harvesting. We support harvesters. We recognize the importance of their livelihood to their families and to the coastal economy of the state of Maine. We also recognize a conservation closure by a town as a useful tool, and we're glad that they have it. And it seems only equitable to us that if you close an area for conservation, that you close it to harvesting, regardless of what the species is. That said, I wanted to give you a little sidelight on another viewpoint we have of this. We do research in the intertidal area, and we believe that research, not only on our part, but on many scientists' parts, is going to increase just because of all the threats to mudflats and all the species there that now exist. It's unprecedented, and you've heard the list a few times of what's going on. This is going to promote questions and required research. When we do our research, we look for a closed clam flat because we're not looking at the effects of digging. We're looking at what's happening to the mud, what that mud can do to species. So we want a closed clam flat, and then we have to try to find out if that area is popular or going to be popular, which is impossible, to wormers, because our research would be completely disrupted by disrupting the mud. So as a side benefit of the intent of 1452, which are considering, would be quiescent areas that wouldn't be harvested, where there would be room, you know, in addition to whatever was happening, netting, whatever, where other scientists could be doing research. And I think this is important because that research, in my opinion, is going to burgeon because the problems we have are so significant. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Are you for or against the bill?
Absolutely for it.
Thank you.
The intent of it.
Steve McDonald.
He is left.
Well, I was going to go to Nathan Peasley.
Well, Paul Dow, Brunswick resident, marine worm digger. These guys are taking my job. I live down at the end of the street from these flats you want to close. I have rights by the homeowners that the clam diggers don't have. They don't have clams because they haven't done any work. I would fully support them in whatever they could do, the netting, the mesh, we would observe that. The fact is, I don't have a place to work anymore. If this goes through, I am an opponent of this. I am a resident of Brunswick. I've been a clam digger, a worm digger. I've worked the ocean. I heard a gentleman say the world's dying. You have to do something about it. Passing this bill with worm diggers on it is not feasible. It's not. You're putting me out of work. There's going to be animosity. You're talking $200 fine, $500 fine, $1,000 fine for me to go to work in my own town? To me to support my kids? I'm 43 years old. I'm thinking about having more kids. I'm going to be out of work. This is what I got to deal with. A six-month-old baby coming, and I'm losing my job in my town. I would ask you gentlemen to please not sponsor this bill. Drop it. Veto it. I'm not sure what you're going to do, but you cannot hear testimony today and vote on this bill in 6 hours. You're not even going to get through. There's 300 more people out here like me. I mean, this is a real sensitive issue. So a lot of people you're affecting from different areas. I can realize people can do a lot of study, but if you don't put the time in to your industry, you are not going to have an industry. There's worms and there's worm diggers in Brunswick because we don't sell every worm we can weed. We put worms back. We dump them off the bridges. We put them in spots where we know that other people don't know about. So I can walk down the end of my street when it's 90 degrees and dig under a shade tree and make my money and be on my way. It's going to come down to something. I just please ask you not to pass this bill until you have a workshop, it gets tabled for another workshop. I came to this meeting a year ago in Brunswick. They scrapped it. Went back on the table 6 days. I just show of hands how many clammers are sitting right here right now. I'm going to show you how many wormers are out there. I mean, we do not want any part of this bill, and we want to be taken off it. You generate money for the town of Brunswick by handing out fines because the worms do migrate. But you're going to be, like, basically making me not be able to pay my bills. I can move across the state and state. They do. You see them. They're moving. They're moving in the Brunswick area. They're moving out of the Brunswick area right now. But that's not a time to shut it down. The clammers need to band together. I just watched 6 of them walk out of the room because they heard what the one person wanted to hear, and they all left. These guys need to come together. They were together 15 years ago, and one town got greedy and kicked everybody else out of it. And then it just went downhill from there. And now they are so far apart, they can't even come to a term together. My wormers are here. They're not my wormers. They're people that I work with. I don't even know half of their names because that's how spread out we are. I don't know what more I can say. I've signed this sheet. I thank you, gentlemen, for your time. Thank you.
Adam or Jeff Peasley? Dan Harrington?
Morning, gentlemen. Had serious reservations as to whether or not I was even going to read this. As of recent days, I've had to change my testimony several different times because of ever-changing circumstances. So here I go. The issue here today is two problems. The green crab and its destructive behavior, and municipalities supporting legislation as a result of false accusations against wormers. So our real issue is what can we do to solve the problem? Fight amongst each other? How productive is that? We all know science does not support the blame being placed on worming. The real culprit is the invasive green crab. Legislation to give municipal control to limit worming and implement fines is wrong. I personally believe, without a market to put constant and continued pressure on crabs, that we will all see harder times in the near future. Crabs could be the largest predation problem of our lifetime. Small green crabs are crawling down clam holes and eating juvenile clams. The mature clams then get dug. The green crab will destroy every species in its path until a market and hard-working people put pressure on them. Consider the gain. A new industry creating jobs. Reversal of juvenile clam mortality and less friction between industries. This could be a big win for our state. Some efforts are already being made, including getting schools and volunteers involved. Any effort by anyone to stop crabs is a good one toward establishing catch methods and markets. For years, the worm industry has helped to support clammers through red tide, water quality closures, and the sudden loss of a municipal clam license. If a law to protect nets is needed, we would be in support of that on the state level. Over the last year, efforts have been made to work together with municipalities, and it was not wormers or clammers who failed to uphold the agreement made with the BMRC. It was the municipal committee. This bill was originally based on over-harvesting accusations. In the minutes from BMRC's August 1, 2012 meeting, BMRC committee member Ray Trombley stated there were 3,700 worm licenses sold in 2011, and that number had increased by 2,000 in 2012. That is 5,700 licensed wormers. The actual number in 2013 was 842. Science does not support the claims of clam mortalities being caused by worming, and the false number of wormers was overstated by 4,858 licenses. This is not just an oversight. At the time of these accusations, green crabs had not even been taken into consideration. In conclusion, it is my sincere opinion that LD 1452 should be immediately killed. Thank you. Dan Harrington, Woolwich Shellfish Committee.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody in any of the overflow rooms that wants to testify, please come to the committee room.
Thank you.
Good afternoon to the chair and to the committee. My name is Stan Fairservice, Jr. I'm from Wiscasset. I've been involved in the industry for 55 years. Our family has employed between 50 and 75 people for at least 45 years in the worm industry. I've watched it progress. I've watched the clam business progress over that amount of time. And I will say thank God for the worm business. It allowed me to make enough money because my family was poor to put myself through 5 years of college. I have a degree in business management and finance. And I want to kind of point out a few things from that standpoint for all of you. When you listen to the testimony, you heard DMR tell you in a study, the marine worms digging does not affect clamming. Now, this is about the fourth time I've had to approach these issues when Brunswick always wants to close their flats. It's become an issue over the years. Over the past 20 years, they have tried to close their flats. I've also watched the decimation of the clam business. They're brothers. They share the mud with me. I mean, I don't dig anymore. I'm retired. I would never go into an area that's netted with seed clams. I mean, that's just, you wouldn't do that. You're a lover of the marine if you don't dig worms. You want to help them, and I want to help them. But I'm going to tell you, the clam industry has gone to pieces since the state of Maine gave the clam industry to the towns. Amen. This has become a political issue. You close that clam flats in Brunswick, and then you issue out 10 licenses to those people that are politically underneath those people, and you deny it for people that are not. Now, it's funny, because I tried to get a clam license in Thomaston, a recreational clam license, okay? So I could dig a peck. I've been a citizen of the state of Maine for 64 years. Well, they told me it took me 6 months before I finally got the answer, which was no. I live in Maine. I pay my taxes in Maine. That mud out there is just as much mine as anybody else's. But I can't go out there and dig a clam. But these gentlemen made sure that everybody else in the state of Maine could dig 50 worms. Can I dig 50 clams? Can I take 50 lobsters? That's all wrong. Let's look at that from DMR says we don't affect them. You'll never find a clam digger. If you do, I'd beat him up. They would go into a seed clam area and destroy it. What we need to do is get the DMR back involved. We need to take the stuff away. I have been to so many meetings where they tell me that the clamming industry is going downhill. For 20 years, it's gone downhill. I've heard 15 people from different associations. All you're doing is talking. You're not making things better. It's getting worse. They'll tell you it's getting worse. Why is it getting worse? Because the towns are in control, and they're just playing this game with clams. These people need to go out and make a living just like us. I want to make a living. I want my son to be able to make a living. I'll tell you just exactly my story, quickly. I started digging worms when I was 9. My family was poor. At 13 years old, I had $1,500, and I bought that business, and I gave it to my parents. And for 45 years, they made a living. In the interim, I was able to put myself through college. I put my wife through college after we were married. 5 years. Then I went into construction management, and I was blessed by the GSA to rebuild the Edward T. Janu building in Portland, federal courthouse. I was asked by Maine Medical to do the Barbara Bush edition on Maine Medical. I was asked by the Legislative Council to rebuild the state capitol building, the connector, and this floor right here in this building. I have been amongst you people. I know business. This is the wrong business. You got a problem? You can't ride this issue that Brunswick always wants to extend on the back of the green crab. Let's all work together and eliminate the green crab. If we eliminate the green crab, and then you can show me documented proof that worm digging does destroy clams, then I'll talk to you again. Until we destroy the predator and the reason the clams are going downhill, don't put it on the backs of the worm digger. Put it on the clams, the clam ordinances, the clam people, and the green crabs. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right, since we're off the list, if people could just sign up when they come in.
Doug Nottingham, former Brunswick committee member. I dig clams and worms. And I'm against this because Mother Nature takes care of itself usually. And now that we have all this abundance of green crabs coming, I've gone through places where worm diggers have dug and gone right through it and got plenty of clams. You know, it helps the clams grow. You're cultivating the mud. So the ice sets in so thick, lifts the mud up, moves the clams out, drops them in the channel or wherever, and they think the worm diggers did it. Well, they didn't. It's Mother Nature. And, you know, I like to pick up 5 bushel of clams too, but they're just not there. And it's not because of the worm diggers, because I go right behind the worm diggers and dig clams where they just went. So, you know, it's the green crab issue. Then the worm diggers really, yeah, they might go through an area twice. That's because there's worms there. But the clams are underneath the worms. And when you turn that mud, the little clams go down deeper and they grow. Same way with bloodworms. So, you know, I've been doing it for 25 years too. And 20 years ago, you couldn't even get 2 bushel of clams in Brunswick. Right now, you could barely get 2 clams a bushel in Brunswick. But there's a lot of worms, so you figure it out.
Thank you. Next.
Adam Jones, I live in Woolwich. Which one do I sign against it? I think you got me on one of them.
There's a checkbox.
You got me on one of them. All right. Anyways... I'm against this bill. I apologize for not coming in a little more prepared. I typed something all up on the computer. My printer doesn't work, so I couldn't give you all a copy and should have brought the whole computer in. But basically, there's a lot of problems. We've got big problems with the ocean. The green crabs are one of them. You know, I've been friends with all these guys for years, the clam digger, the worm digger. I had a clam license in Woolwich for 18 years. I've seen, you know, a lot of problems with the green crab. I'm an urchin diver, so I also seen when the green crabs came in, I don't know how many years ago, 15 years ago, when, like, freaking armies under the ocean, and I smashed half a million myself, and they eat each other. The green crab has gotten to be a red-green crab mix. There's a box crab now. There's all kinds of crabs out there. And we saw a biologist this year in Thomas Point Beach getting a little red box crab thing that's supposed to be and angry little bugger. And the ones now, they got like green and red cross with them, and they are aggressive. You pick one up and they're going to try to chew your finger off. But, you know, so the crabs is like huge. You know, these guys, for years I was on the clam committee in Woolwich for clams. You know, I've dug worms since 1974, 14 years old. And it's funny, you know, as a kid, you know, digging worms ain't the big thing. My father grew up in the Union. His father started it. You know, I mean, I'm like golden, go jump, whatever. My brother's in it, got 100-something thousand annuity. I probably should have stayed there, but, you know, I'm proud of what I do. I fish, I provide for people, and it's an honorable work as far as I'm concerned. I quit 8 years of the ironworks and jumped on an offshore dragon one night. I've been ground fishing, processor boat fishing, scallop fishing. Man, I've been fishing like 25 years, you know, Albert, clams, you name it, periwinkles. You know, it's like, this problem has been discussed before, too, with our clam committee, with the biologists, saying that these little periwinkles that float around on top of the mud, man, are like, they're carnivorous. They eat clam spat, man. You go to places, I know these clam plats is good, and mud plats is good as just about anybody I know, okay? You go to these plats, and there's 500 million pounds of these little periwinkle things. You break a clam, throw it on top of the mud, and these periwinkles come from 50 feet away to eat this clam, man. It's like, our biologist in a meeting one time in our shellfish committee in Woolwich said we could actually gather these things up. We was all going to start bringing in a small bucket a day, throw them into a dumpster and dump them on the landfill because they're no good for nothing. They're poisonous. They give you salt water rich. We was picking clams through the mud, and that would come above the glove, and periwinkles, there's something wrong with those. None of these clam diggers, not picking one of them, will like admit it. I talked to Deborah a little while ago about it, and he goes, oh, I know, you're talking about crabs. You're talking about, you know, the horseshoe crabs, crabs, and then the seagulls. I did hear seagulls. Seagulls are a vicious, major animal against any type of seedling out there. The clam diggers themselves, they flip a clam up over, and, you know, they'll leave an inch and a half clam on top of the mud, 10 feet digging that way. The seagulls will be all over his backstrip eating that inch and a half clam. You've got nothing left. Don't blame us. I dig right over the top of the clams. You can look down and see the clams that far under the freaking mud, further than what, you know, we do break some, and I admit it, but this has been going on for years. They got more problems than friggin' us, you know what I mean? So that, you know, these periwinkles, man, they're eating all the seed fat. I know these plants so well that you go to these plants and you look, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing. And the worm digger never even touched the plants. And then I hear Timmy Urshel from Woolwich. You know, I've known Timmy forever. He's a fisherman. He's saying that the green crab's coming up and eating all this shoreline, all the weeds on the shore. Me and my buddy have been seeing this happening in, you know, Brunswick, West Bath, Hartsville, all these areas. We're going, wow, look, the banks are deteriorating. I didn't even know the green crabs are doing this. And yet it's bringing all this friggin' silt over the top of the mud. So you got this much silt with, and nothing's going to live in that because it's all silt that's not letting any type. So they can't blame the worm digger. I'm against this bill. And basically, the clam is, most worm diggers, including myself, I've dug clams, like I said, for 18 years, and I saw the damage firsthand. I know what damage I caused. And yet, this will heal itself up. It always has. But when the predators are coming and eating, I'm leaving clams, I'm leaving worms, and it's really detrimental to both industries, these predators, because the seagulls will eat the worms. I leave a baby worm in the mud, and them seagulls will eat 20 a day, say, times 100 diggers, that's 2,000 times, 5 days a week, 10,000. Them worms, it becomes an infinite number over a short period of time, you know, and all of it. And it really starts from the dragons off.
I think he pretty
much
made
I ain't got my 3 minutes in yet. Right. And it also starts from outside. The drag is from outside. I talked to biologists, scientists about the ground fishing, what it stirs up on the bottom, the photoplankton, all this. I've seen it, all the glows at night. You come inside and you start dragging these mussel beds, you start dragging urchin beds, scallop beds, and sea cucumber beds. They all live together. It's like you're going after this paper, yet you wreck everything around it, the mic, everything it might as well kick the legs right out from under this thing just to get that piece of paper. It's like, what kind of idiocy is that? You know, it's like retarded.
I think we got your
then
point.
Then you get the jagger comes in. They start smashing little baby lobsters this big on the bottom. Last month, December, 15 below, me and my buddy were under the water urchin diving. I move a rock like this, a little baby lobster this big swims off.
Mr. Johns.
Almost done, all right?
One sentence.
The little baby lobster will swim off. I don't bother that lobster. An 8-foot drag comes through and smash. All right, the crabs are coming and eating that lobster. They got a taste for lobster now. So now the crabs are moving in. I saw probably 400,000 pounds of green crab on the bottom this year that we don't see before. And they're more of an invasive species. So, yes, I am against this in a big way.
All right.
And you've got more problems with the ocean that you ought to address. These periwinkles, the crabs.
Okay, I think we got it.
And the seagulls. I hope you got it because I don't want to ever say this again, then. You got it. Thank you very much.
Next.
I won't be as long. My name is Michael St. Jean. I'm from Alna. I've dug worms for 40-something years. One thing I haven't heard mentioned, probably the only thing, that bloodworms eat baby clams. And the bigger the bloodworm, the bigger the clam they'll eat. So whenever they seed baby clams, there's an influx of big bloodworms. And when you dig them, they'll have baby clams right in their mouth, and they'll be eating them. And even a small bloodworm can eat a big clam once they get the head in it. But I think the woman who said that we need to net the mud and keep everybody off it goes to as far as keeping people off it who want to walk by it, I think she said. So if they net an area to a channel and somebody wants to walk by the shoreline, this net now interferes with their right to cross the mud flats, to walk on the mud flats, for what? So the clammers, I never heard a clammer complain when they were making $500 to $700 a tide while we was making $150 a tide. I never heard a complaint out of a clammer when they kicked all the bloodwormers out of the clam flats. I never heard them complaining then. But now we hear clammers come up here and tell the committee that bloodwormers need something from the department. I don't know a single bloodwormer that's ever needed anything from the department other than to be left alone. And when you start taking away your constitutional rights to traverse the mud flats because of netting, the netting gets silted up. It's covered in sticks, it's covered in muds. What happens when loons get in it? What happens if an eagle gets caught in it? Raccoons don't care if there's a net. They're going to dig right through it. They're going to get the clams. This whole idea of netting to me is ridiculous. When a big hard spring rain comes, it floods the mud flats, the netting's going to be six underneath the mud. The clam digger already told me if they don't pull the mud flat, if they don't pull the net out of the mud once a week, they lose it into the silt, and it doesn't do any good anyway. I think the whole idea about turning the whole main mud flats to a handful of worm diggers. I mean, if we're a handful of clam diggers, taking away everybody's constitutional right to go down there and even dig a bucket of clams to take home and eat, should, I think, personally, the state should take back the ownership of the mud flats, give it back to the people of the state of Maine, and get out of the clam business.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, you know, my name's James Campbell. I'll be brief. I'm a 28-year worm digger. And I also have a different, unique perspective to this. I also am a Zone 1 urchin diver. The problem is not the worm diggers. The problem is the green crabs. There's so many of them out there. I would also like the committee to know that us worm diggers, when this all started a few months ago, last spring, I went to these clam meetings in Brunswick. A lot of us worm diggers were interested in what was going on, you know, because the last thing we want to do is ruin someone else's paycheck. We made an agreement with the Brunswick clam diggers. Our whole industry, not just one little town, our whole industry came together. All our buyers, everybody got together. They put up signs about these places that Brunswick wanted to close down, a little place for worm digging. And sure enough, you know, not the detriment to the clam diggers, but they went, this was a gentleman's agreement so that this would never happen, to see if there was some way for the wormers and the clam diggers to come together. Well, obviously it didn't work out because the clam diggers decided to open the flat up and not inform any of us worm diggers. Granted, it was a small flat, but we had a gentleman's agreement, and it was working out really well. All us worm diggers were staying out of this area, giving it a chance to grow, and our response from the Brunswick Marine Patrol was that, oh, that was an oversight on us. We're sorry we didn't inform you guys. So this can be, you know, all us worm diggers know all us clam diggers. Everybody knows everybody. So there's definitely ways to do this without it turning into a big legal thing. So, like I said, I'm definitely opposed to this.
Thank you. Appreciate your brevity. Next.
I'm John Chapman from Alder, Maine. I've been digging myself my whole life, just like everybody else here. Raised three kids, did whatever it took. Now, I am also one of the guys that got displaced as a clam digger from the town of Dresden, because there is no mud flat there. All right, I lived in Dresden. All of a sudden, the town ordinances came out. Brunswick had all, like, phenomenal clam digging, so they decided that they liked that. And it made them angry that someone came there and harvested their clams. So they decided they'd box themselves into that town and make a town ordinance. So what the problem is here, folks, is think out of the box, you know. The clam diggers have boxed themselves in and overdug it and overdug it and overdug it and reseeded it, and it ain't worked and it ain't gonna work. They need to open it back up statewide. Maybe they can do something with the number of clam diggers, but geographic discrimination is not the way to do it. And that's what I got to say about it.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? Go ahead. So if there's anybody in either of the overflow rooms that wants to speak, they should come to the back to the committee room right now.
Chairman, my name is Edward Tharp, Senator. I'm a resident of Woolwich. I am not a harvester. I am against this legislation. I have two small children that want to be harvesters at one point. But starting with the green crab, now, it's been said too many times here that the problem is the green crab. We're down on our own five-yard line here with two things: too many green crabs and we're in a loss of jobs, and the resource is depleting. So what do we do about it? Well, I used to be a pest control operator. And what we do when we have roaches is we go in and we attack the species. And one thing I haven't heard enough about here from everybody, really, is eradication and pulling out all the stops legislatively. If we're going to have legislation, let's get something in place where people, my kids have an interest to go out as children and set some traps and cells, community involvement, everybody attack the species. And if we can do that, bring down the numbers,
they won't have little green crabs.
It's that simple. And finally, I'd like to commend Representative Kent for his courage in talking about not having a work session, and that this issue is a lot more than I think a lot of people perceive, and it needs to breathe a little bit. So having a work session immediately following here, I think, is something that should not happen right now until there's a further understanding of what we have to do. But I cannot stress enough that the attack, free markets can be developed, and there are solutions here, free market solutions that can benefit everybody. And once that species starts to be attacked and the numbers go down, the clams come back, the worms come back, and as Mr. Green said, everybody's happy, happy, happy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
On Sonia, I live in Gardner, and I travel all up and down this coast and this state. I've never had a problem with the clammers. If they had a problem with me, I was nice enough to move on if that's what I needed to do. I can't believe that we all can't come together with this. I wasted my time the last 15 years bringing my children up. You ask who I sell worms to. My daughter comes in digging. My son comes in digging. They're all in their late teens now. And I believe I wasted my time. I believe there isn't going to be an industry enough for them to do what I did, which I believe is exclusive to the world in Maine. I'm proud of that. Fate made it so that I could be in this job, and thank God I wouldn't do anything else. All I know is whatever happens with us in the future between the relationship between the clammers and the wormers, I will take off days, months, and years to come here and fight this. I didn't realize it was this kind of a deal. If it's the green crabs, great, figure it out. How can you bring something into law like this that we know, as a wormer, is open-ended? I don't know when I'm going to get fined. I don't know where I can't dig. I don't. This happened just a few months ago. We didn't know. Nobody wanted to let us know when we could go back. This is gonna continue to happen. There's always going to be animosity between what we all do on the mud. The clam is in, the worm is collectively together. I don't got a problem. And guess what? I like eating clams, but I friggin' love fishing too. And we need these industries. And right now, it's just going to be problems. It's going to be problems on the mud. That's all I got to say. It's too bad that my children aren't going to be able to do this. It's bull crap.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hi, I'm Margaret Harrington. My father actually has the biggest shop in the state. And we have probably, between all of the shops, we probably got 400 diggers. And this doesn't just affect us. It affects everybody that works for us. It affects all the people that we sell to worldwide. So this is about more people's jobs than just the diggers or just a few people. And everybody keeps bringing up the green crabs. But when this bill was written, the green crabs were never mentioned. I cannot find anywhere in there where it addresses a green crab problem. It only addresses the perceived problem of the bloodworm diggers. I don't see anything in here. If anybody can show me where it addresses directly the green crab problem, I'd like to see it. So I think the bill should be tabled completely, as we all agreed it should have been until 6 days ago or 7 days ago or whatever day it was. It was agreed that this was going to be thrown out, and then it all of a sudden changed because of personal issues. Everybody has their own agenda, and I do too. My agenda is to keep my job, keep the jobs of all the people that I have working for me. And with this bill, I don't believe they'll be there. I think they'll be gone completely within a few years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Committee, my name is George Lamar. You'll have no problem hearing me. They call me Whispering George. I've been digging worms since I was 13. My father and my grandfather have, so let's make it short and sweet. It's all about control. That's the biggest issue every worm digger has. You passed an ordinance, gave Brunswick the chance to take and make ordinances as to who could dig clams on their estuaries. Yet, as it's been said before, everybody in this room, including you folks, have a right to be on that mud flat. Your taxes, my taxes, whether I live in Wiscasset, I live in Dresden, or I live in Fort Kent, my taxes pay for the gentlemen in badges and everybody else to make sure that everything's done right on the ocean. Who gave the town the rights to tell anybody, all right, I live in Dresden, I don't want you to come pick apples in Dresden anymore because you don't live there? That's what it's gotten to be, and that's what every damn worm digger in this room's afraid of. You start giving somebody the power to regulate something that belongs to everybody in the state of Maine. How many licenses are we going to have to hold? Seriously. It's one step. Here's a good example for you. Tom Dresden. I love Tom Dresden. I grew up there. My grandfather had the first five and dime in that store and ran both friggin' hand-pulled ferries. One is recycle. Great idea. Let's put some dumpsters outside. I fought it. Why? It wasn't the fact that I didn't want to recycle. It was the fact, oh, let's put some dumpsters outside. Great idea. Oh, geez, now we got a problem. People are stealing this good stuff, and we got to find a way to get rid of the bad stuff. Well, let's put a gate up. Oh, geez, now we got a gate. Now we got to hire somebody to go open and close the gates at night. Well, that ain't good enough. Now they're climbing the gate. So let's go build a building. Oh, now we got a building. Now we got to have hours. Now we got to have a couple employees. Now that's just what happened. I was 21 years old when I fought that bill. I am 57 years old, and I'm proud to be a worm digger. I'm proud to be a carpenter. I'm not ashamed of either. I'm ashamed of people that sit over here and tell me how to make a damn living and think they're looking out for my best interest. My best interest is somebody telling me that, oh, I got to go to Brunswick. Oh, I got to run downtown office, see if I can get a friggin' license, because now they've already got the clam license. Now we're going to shut off the flats. We don't want you on our flats. Who the hell died and left in God? Everything in the state of Maine belongs to the state of Maine people. Everybody in the state of Maine pays taxes so they can go to these places, whether you go to Acadia National Park or whether you go down the damn ocean. Who gave anybody the damn given right to tell me at 13 years old I was digging worms that I can't go dig a peck of clams unless I run to the freaking town office and see if they'll give me a recreational license or even if there's one available? My tax dollars help pay for that seed that they put in those damn flats. Pissed? You won't know the half of it. I've sat in, I've listened to everybody in this room. They've all made some damn good points. I'm sick and tired of federal government, state government telling me how to make a living. And I can't imagine anybody in here that's dug worms has ever come up here and asked you for a damn thing, except leave us alone. Yeah, I know. All right, you're pissed because you don't like what you're hearing, but it's the damn truth, sir.
I don't care.
Yeah, that's it. You don't care. Why do you think we're all here? Do you realize that almost every digger in the state of Maine is here today? Why? Because we're afraid we're going to lose our job. I don't have to hold on. I've got a right to speak my piece in this room, fella, and don't think I don't. And I will speak yet.
You do, and if you'd come back to the microphone.
I don't need to come back. I've told you, I'm sick and tired of government telling everybody in this room how to make a living.
You're supposed to be for the people.
We sit here, like we said, we don't dig the same flats constantly because you'll kill them. We know this. We don't need something.
What I meant was, I don't care one way or another. I just want to hear what you guys have to say. But you don't have to do it by starting an argument.
I've not got an argument. I've told you the basic facts, sir. Basic facts is it starts from one point with a good intent, and it keeps snowballing and snowballing and snowballing until it's not a good intent anymore. That's why we are here. Because we don't want town licenses. We don't want town licenses. And we
I understand that. Okay. Work. I think you're done, right?
Yeah, I am.
Just like that.
No, you've already spoken.
But I just like to say that there is a market for the green crabs.
You can
talk to Adler Simmons. They get 15 cents a pound for them. Maybe the state can get together.
You've already had your time.
All right.
Anybody else?
My name is Jonathan Dore. I've been a worm digger my entire life up to when my father first brought me out on the flat at 4 years old. He was a worm digger as well, been a family of worm diggers for many times. There's going to be a lot of heated discussion about this topic. We're talking about our livelihood. We're talking about the way that we raise our kids, the money that we use to support our kids. Many, many times people have been denied clam licenses by the clam ordinance, the same ordinance you guys want to give all this right to, all this ability to. The town ordinance are run
okay,
by...
this is not something that we want to do, okay? This was proposed by a legislator.
This is
we're
what
here
the,
to
this
hear
bill
is, what
is
people's
proposing
opinions
to get.
Are. That's right. Not something that doesn't necessarily mean that anybody on the committee supports it, okay?
Right.
We're just here to...
But this bill would give them the power.
So don't be accusing us of wanting
to do
this.
No. What this bill does, though, it gives them the power to do this. The ones who have... The limited amount of people who have already... denied us our clamming license. Now, yes, we can all go out and get a state license, but we cannot get a town license. Most of the places, you can't get an out-of-town license. And to go and give the power to these people who have already denied us a right to earn the living that they are earning, giving them the ability to take away what earnings we have, is wrong. It's completely wrong. It should not be up to the towns, because the towns got their own agendas. It should be for the state, for the people. And you guys are here for us. So please, squash this bill, because there's more people here want it squashed than want it going through. This is the voice of the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Just want to let you know that the bloodworm industry is 30-40% goes overseas to foreign trade. Just if you didn't know that. We have to get federal documents and all that, so I don't know if you guys knew that.
Thank you. Anybody else? Last call. All testimony haven't been taken.